Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just like I told those guys after the game, you know, we're mentally prepared to play for 5 more weeks. And so that's our intent. How do you do that? You go out and you win the first one.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we just finished up a really good conversation with Chris Sims, the NFL analyst for NBC Sports. If you missed it, go back on our Odyssey app. You can listen on the Rewind feature. And in the meantime, we spent a lot of our first hour talking about the Green Bay Packers side of things. Heard from Jeff Hafley, heard from Keyshawn Nixon, and heard from other players as they talked about their strategy, why they want to face the Bears, etc. Well, what about the Bears side of things? It's not necessarily as focused on the single game of facing the Packers. It's a little more wide-ranging, like we just heard Ben Johnson say.
He wants to make sure people understand the regular season is over. It's cute that you were the NFC North champions. It's great that you have accomplished the 2 seed, but all that is for naught if you don't take advantage of this situation. You are highly seeded in a tournament. It is a very simple tournament. You win 4 games, you get to hoist a trophy, and the city of Chicago loves you forever.
Forever. Colston Loveland was the one who put everybody on notice yesterday, because I know we've talked about the sense of urgency coming out of guys like Christian Watson, Josh Jacobs, etc. But we haven't really heard it as much when it comes to hearing from the Bears. It's been, I think, a little more tactical, a little more game-related. Caleb Williams is as cool as a cucumber. He's not going to be that guy. Listen to what Colston Loveland had to say about what the message you just heard was from Ben Johnson.
He's like, you know, it's another season, so you guys better have more energy, better energy than we had last season. And like you said, he said, if you're not after the game, he said, if you're not prepared to play the next 5 weeks, if you're thinking about anything else, thinking about booking a flight, vacations or anything, don't come in. So he made it very clear about what's at stake and what this team is looking for.
Who's the one booking the flight? Who decided it was Cancun on 3 already?
I think it was a message to spur all of that before the thought even gets into your head. But I understand why the message was sent. I don't necessarily think it was necessary, because I think these players are genuinely excited, and there's not, oh, here we go again. There's not a feeling of, we'll do this year just like we did it last year and we'll do it next year. No. This is different. And that was the message Ben Johnson is trying to get across. This is different, and you have to act accordingly going forward.
Well, and that's how I feel.
Right.
Like, I know that the football schedule goes, you know, you usually time things out to the traditional, like, media schedule. You say it's like August 15th to January 15th. That's usually kind of how we slice it up. You get your fair share of the training camp that way. You get your fair share of preseason. And January 15th allows for playoff games. We have not had those in the last several years.
Just look at how we, and when I say we, I mean I, planned my whole, I was like, all right, I'll go on a vacation probably either this week or next week. That was back before the season started.
You were Cancun on 3.
I was definitely Cancun on 3.
And to be fair, history had echoed your sentiment.
A first-year head coach in this loaded division? Ben Johnson.
In this economy?
7 wins for Ben Johnson. And okay, we're on the right. 7 wins and improved Caleb Williams play. That's all I was asking for, really. And I did say I had more faith in the offense than the defense. Man, has that come? I didn't think it would be this bad. I'm going to be very clear.
You've been on this from training camp.
Yes, but I didn't think the defense would be this bad. And they're hurt, and that's fine, but players get hurt. That's what the NFL is. Not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. I will say this. We're all rewiring and replanning how the month of January is going now, because the Bears have made the playoffs. And it's not just that they made the playoffs. They've made the playoffs unlike what you like to refer to the last time they did or did not make the playoffs, 2020.
The gas leak year.
They
there's nothing leaking to the point where you think they can't win the game.
Bingo.
They can win this game.
Now, Colston Loveland is a rookie, and so you have to instill a little bit of a different mindset in your rookie players. I don't necessarily know that he's going to stray. That's not how I feel about him. I just think kind of like rookie programming with the Packers, and that's George McCaskey's job. There's also the same kind of mindset when it comes to the playoffs. Like, I can say it's house money. Chris Sims can say you're playing with house money. They can't. That's the difference. Cole Kmet is a good person to kind of bounce this off of, the contrast as well. Fellow tight end, he was a part of that playoff game, whatever you want to call that.
Let's call it a moment in time.
The Nickelodeon game. Ray, what do you call it? You call it a playoff game? Does that count to you?
I mean, yeah, it does to me.
You don't sound very confident.
He did not sound confident.
You're like,
confident.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it does.
You got to call it something. Might as well be what it was.
Tyler, do you count that as a playoff game?
Well, I barely call the bubble championship in the NBA a sure championship. So I don't know if I could call this an actual playoff game, too.
Everybody forgets how long the bubble actually went.
Bubble went forever. Too I had long. Friends in the bubble.
Wasn't it 6 months?
No. I think it was 3 months, wasn't it?
I don't know. It was. I act like mentally the bubble was like a couple weeks.
It was, because wasn't it like 5 more games or 10 more? It was
to the internet.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it might have been 4 months total, because the playoff series were in the same tradition and vein. But remember,
3 months.
Three months.
So I was way off.
Yeah, you said 6 months.
But I also didn't think it was. I initially was like, oh yeah, the bubble's like a month. No.
I just remember
a quarter of the year.
The Kings, I was in Sacramento at the time. The Kings were one of those play-in level teams before the play-in was a real thing. This was like their experiment with it. And we're like, oh, maybe we'll go cover it because this is the only thing going on. And it was like $20,000 to go stay in Epcot. It was bad. It was a very bad situation for the media.
240 says the D-line isn't hurt. Dio Odengbo would disagree with you. He's not coming back for this game. I don't want to say last game, but, you know, they brought everybody back for this game. So, yeah, the D-line is actually hurt. And a guy that they paid handsomely, they wanted him to be a part of it. So let's listen to Cole Kmet and how, first of all, what does he call that game? And secondly, how does he look back at that versus what is in front of him?
Well, I remember it being weird. You know, as a rookie, you just kind of, you don't really know this from that. And, you know, you're 8-8, and there felt like a lot of negative sentiment around the team at the time, even though we were going to the playoffs. And it almost felt like, oh, man, you know, you go at 8-8, and it feels like this. Like, surely getting in is not an issue. And sure enough, you know, 5 years later, you're going back for the second time. So I think I just look back on it, and you realize, first of all, you never take a playoff for granted. And, you know, maybe I did a little bit at the time, and just based on the atmosphere of that. But, you know, also that being said, I do feel like this team is way different than that team. And I think that, you know, that team, we had a lot of things going on throughout the year, a lot of changes at some key positions, where this year it feels like we're more cemented in who we are and our identity as a team. And I feel like those are things that can carry over, you know, here in January.
That team was 5-7 at one point. And that's why it never felt like we're about to do something. I mean, I guess they won 3 of their last 4 games, though, right?
No. So I remember the ongoing question being, and you remember this, Ray, are the Bears good?
Oh, yeah.
And then we asked it the next year, and then it all fell apart.
It sure did. But, you know, to the key question before we played that Cole Kmet audio, you heard Cole Kmet call it a playoff game. You did.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
He also said it was weird.
He did. And
it
they was
were 8
weird.
And 8.
He said the vibes were bad, babe.
See?
They didn't get much better than
I don't know
year.
That we're in Worry Town, you know, with Spiegel and Holmes, but I don't know that we're not in it. I think we're in the county. We're in the unincorporated area.
I'll tell you what, I feel better about the cast this time around. than I do that time around.
And part of the reason why I feel good about this year is because
Ray had a cast on his arm.
Oh, I sure did. Yeah, that sucked.
You have a great
bionic arm.
Mix of players here who have not done this before, who it's been too long since they have done this, and other veterans who've done this several times so they understand exactly what's going on.
But they didn't do it with this team necessarily, like Kevin Byard.
You've been part of a 9-7 team that went to the conference championship game. You've been part of a one seed that lost in the first round. How do you process that whole dynamic of what this is?
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't won a playoff game since then. You know what I mean? So I understand how special these opportunities are, and they don't come around that often. I know just even this 2019 team, like, they were saying even back then, like, we were too early, like, as far as, like, we had snuck into the playoffs and, oh, they're not going to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have all the pieces, and we went on the run, and obviously we're a game short. We're going to the Super Bowl. So I've been hearing the same noise about this team this year as well. So I just think for us all together, just understanding how special this group is and going out there and just playing for each other. You know what I mean? It's do or die at this point. So like I said, I'm just extremely excited, motivated. My energy level is high. It's going to be high for the rest of the week. Because, like I said, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to be back in the playoffs with this group, with this this organization. So it's going to be fun.
Does playoff experience matter?
Yeah, I would say so. I think just for, like I said, the experience of, you know, especially when it comes to, like, you know, for me, being able to be a part of these games, I know, and just talking to the guys, like, I remember my first playoff game. It was my second year in the league in Kansas City, and I just remember going out there for pregame warm-up, and it was like the lights felt a little brighter. The sidelines were a lot more packed with media and all the different people out there. The intensity level just ramps up. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like going from preseason to regular season ball and regular season to postseason. You just feel rejuvenated. I feel rejuvenated, honestly. Like, I don't feel, at this point in my body, I don't feel no wear and tear from the regular season. Like, I feel like it's a new season, and that's how I'm approaching it. So I think guys just understanding that the intensity is going to wrap up. Just every little thing matters. Every play is going to matter. So because you just never know what's going to be the play that's going to win us the game or not. So, like I said, I think experience definitely matters at all levels, right? If it's offense, defense, special teams, it does matter. But at the same time, it's just I think when you have a couple leaders, a few leaders that obviously we got a lot of guys with some playoff experience can kind of just give advice and tips and stuff like that from the other guys. And at that point, it's just going out there and playing football.
You know what that sounds like? A guy who's going to get his eighth interception.
I mean, it definitely sounds like a guy who feels like this moment has been well overdue. And now he's the guy that's like, I'm glad we're playing this on Saturday. I don't have to watch a bunch of football leading into Sunday. I can play my game as soon as possible. He's itching to get out there and do something.
He is. And he also just, it is a veteran mentality. When you hear him talk, don't you think that?
Yeah, absolutely. He understands, like, just the way he answered the question about playoff experience mattering. He's acknowledging, yes, it does. And he's explaining why. And you know who's got the advantage in playoff experience here? Packers over the Bears, yeah. That's concerning.
Right. And then on the flip side of it is, in the eight total games that Matt LaFleur has coached, he's 3-5. But that means he's still won three times.
He's won on the road, too.
Yeah. It unfazed and had some real whoppers of wins as well. Cowboys game, I'm staring at you.
I knew that's the exact game you were referring
when you
to.
Can do, when you can score over 40 points
in
that
a playoff
easily
game.
On the road in a playoff game, I'm never, as long as your quarterback is the same dude, I'm not counting you out.
No, I think that's the smart play.
Because somebody like Bo Melton or whomever, Dontavian Wicks, you need a lot of people to score that many points. And that's the thing. That's what they do well. They also have a ton of different receivers. They will target 10 different people in a game. And you want to be able to do that because it also means you're running enough plays to be able to do so. Not that I'm still thinking about the first halves of games right now. Run more plays.
Well, the biggest thing for
plays me need the run.
Is that Jordan Love also has playoff experience. Each of the past two seasons, he has been to the playoffs. He's 1-2 in those playoff games. And I think understanding that he understands what this moment is and he's played on the road. And again, if you're talking about like road conditions where the Green Bay Packers are comfortable, Soldier Field, they're very comfortable because even though the landlord doesn't work for them anymore, they've all been subleasing from him, Aaron Rodgers, for the past however many years. However far you want to go back.
Stop it. You don't know if that guy's going to win a game and his head coach is going to get fired.
I know this. The Packers have lost each of the last two seasons to the eventual teams that made it to the Super Bowl. Think about that.
What a title.
So if you're the Bears, maybe this will get you to the Super Bowl if you can beat the Packers.
Fair enough. Yeah, because the last time it was the Eagles.
The year before that, it was the Niners.
The Eagles, who people are now automatically counting out for some reason.
I would not do that.
Unless you're Chris Sims. And I was actually surprised that he put the Eagles in the top three. Because that Eagles and 49ers game is going to be incredibly compelling. Coming up next here on Raheem Harrison Grody, I didn't get to this story yesterday because we had such a ridiculous one yesterday that we had to do instead.
Was it ridiculous or was it just people should know that this goes on before you get involved with a professional football player or an influencer? This is how things can end up. Public.
That's cautionary tale. Cautionary tale is the way to put it. When the headline says it's like something out of Ocean's 11, is it art imitating life or is it life imitating art?
Ocean's 14 is on the way, by the way. Just thought I should throw that in there.
I think it might have happened in Germany. I'll explain next.